I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is Curious Mix. Listen in as we meet the people and explore the places and programs celebrating the arts and culture in our communities. Keep your ears open for these sounds and the stories behind them.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Kids Dance Outreach uses dance and music to inspire confidence, teamwork, and an appreciation of the arts in elementary school children. The nonprofit offers high-level dance classes to kids for free. KDO partners with schools and community organizations and brings the program to the kids during school time, so it's available for everyone. Michael Johnson started Kids Dance Outreach in 2012. One of its newest programs is Adaptive Dance, which is specifically designed for children with Down syndrome. I went to a few of those Adaptive Dance classes to meet the kids, the parents, and the volunteer teachers, and to watch Johnson and his assistant Monica Munoz lead a group of kids through an hour of music, exercise, education, and fun.
My name is Michael Johnson. I'm the director and founder of Kids Dance Outreach. The Adaptive Dance Program for Kids Dance Outreach is designed specifically for children with Down syndrome.
5, 6, here we go.
My name is Paul Ashby. My son's Caleb. This is his second class that he's gone here, so he absolutely loves it.
Heather Batchelder. Madison is 16, and she has been in this dance since she was, 12. I kept telling them, she's going to age out, and they said, no, she'll never age out. Just keep bringing her back, which is just making her heart go pitter-patter.
Do you like dancing with your friends?
Yeah.
And are Michael and Monica, are they good teachers?
Yeah.
I gained knowledge and experience from working with Boston Children's Hospital when I was with the Boston Ballet.
Yes, that's it. Excellent.
There's specific goals that we want them to achieve, but we want them to be having fun while they're doing it.
Normally he can be pretty shy, but whenever we ask him to dance, he'll go and he'll show off his different styles of dance that they taught him in here, whether it be the straight dance or round dance, or the robot's one of his favorite. And he likes to show off to people, you know, the stuff that he's learned in the class. So it kind of brings him out of his shell a little bit.
In loud, noisy environments, she's always had to wear her headphones, but this is one of the few environments where I can bring her. And she's comfortable enough with the noise level that she doesn't need them, finally.
I'm Dara Ferguson. I'm Doran Ferguson's mom. And it's been an incredible experience. I just wanted him to be around other kids like him, where the level, their learning levels weren't so vast. And he could catch up, he could keep up, and be accepted. And, you know, it was never a difference between him and the other kids.
Everybody has their own challenges, all of us do. And let's say with specific diagnoses, there might be certain things that the children might struggle with, whether it's rising up to your toes or, you know, sensitivity in their neck or whatever it might be, or maybe always one side is stronger than the left. No, not any different than any of us, really. But those are the kinds of things that we're trying to equalize. Those things we're always trying to improve.
Caleb. Yes, Caleb.
That's it. Balance.
Yes, Caleb.
Balance. Arms up.
Yes, Caleb.
We tried some other different programs for special needs kiddos, but this one seems to fit well with him. He likes it.
My name is Jeff DeHurt, and I play piano for Kids Dance Outreach.
I'm primarily schooled as a jazz musician, but I play jazz, rock, pop, and classical. Jazz is kind of an important component, and rock, of what I do with KDO, just because it's more, usually more danceable, and the jazz part is I have to kind of improvise to keep it going and to correct things on the fly.
And a lot of times the musicians, they're not reading music, they're watching us with eyes beads on the teacher like a hawk, to try to match the energy and the qualities that we're looking for depending on what the task is. For example, if we're going across the floor with the steps and we're hitting the tambourine with our knee, of course he's going to find some kind of march music.
Helping the kids learn to use their bodies with music. And dance is just kind of a small part of it. It's more of a sense of accomplishment, what they can do.
That's it! Yeah!
It's actually very structured in there. All the instructors need to keep the kids on task, which is, you know, what he needs. He needs to learn how to follow the rules, follow directions, even when he may not want to. Some of the things physically for Caleb are a little bit difficult because he was a little bit delayed with walking, and so his lower body is a little bit weaker than most kids, but so the jumping and everything like that's a little bit challenging. But when he is able to jump, it's just, he's like a rock star. The smile that he has on his face when he looks up and looks at me or his mother, and just, yeah, I just did that. It's priceless.
Nice work.
High five,
Gail.
Great job. Give your friend a high five.
Lots of confidence. Her gross motor has improved. She's got lots of strength. In fact, her doctor tells me all the time that she's one of the strongest kids he's ever seen. No low muscle tone.
He remembered that dance was today. I don't even recall telling him that we had dance on Tuesday, but last night he packed up his bag and he got it all ready. He said, we got dance tomorrow. I said, yeah, I think so, but let me check the calendar. And he was right.
Right, one more. Woo, there we go.
I always have to keep on watching the class and react to what the teaching artists are doing. They have certain things that they want out of music, and I have to be really aware of what's going on. And sometimes he'll stop suddenly and correct a few things, and then I'll have to start again. I have to be aware of their feel, the tempo, and try to inspire both the teaching artists and the kids to perform.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite dance move?
Yes.
What's your favorite one?
Thriller. They do a dance. Everyone does a dance where they enter in the center of the circle, and then it stops, and then the music goes fast, and then they do their own thing. And he usually does some Michael Jackson variety.
You say 1, 2, 3, and then everyone say, hit it, Jeff, and we'll have a dance party. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hit it, Jeff!
Usually you see me sitting at the table with the moms, and just so much support for each other and understanding of what we live with in life, some of our struggles, some of our happy moments, because not everybody can understand when your child is developmentally disabled, it means that they're cognitively lower as well. And so the little triumphs that we support each other on, and we all get it. We all get where each other is in life, and the frustrations, the triumphs. So, for me, I love the relationships down here.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks. They thank the musicians and the teaching artists, and we thank them too for trying their best and trying to do what we ask of them. So it's kind of a mutual respect and courtesy.
Thank you, Alden. Good job today. Thank you. Good job. We'll see you on Saturday.
It's really rewarding. We love what we do. We love these children. The families are ecstatic about it, and we just appreciate them sharing their wonderful children with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Adaptive Dance Program is one of several KDO offers for kids pre-K through fifth grade throughout the year. Each week, we bring you an audio postcard from the studio of an Indiana DIY or do-it-yourself artist. This week, WFYI's Melissa Davis introduces us to a jewelry artist who calls herself the Quartz Curator.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks so much.
Have a great evening.
My name is Rana Salome Streetinger, and I'm making quartz gemstone jewelry and different adornments. I call myself the Quartz Curator because everything is quartz. So all the different types of stones that I work with, whether it's amethyst, turquoise, pyrite, it all starts as a form of quartz.
So today we are at the Harrison Center for Arts at the Independent Music and Arts Festival and also the Indiana Handicraft Exchange. There's three things happening at once and it's a lot of fun. It's very lively, hot, but lots of music, lots of good times, over 100 different artists and vendors who all come together to sell their wares, listen to good music, and see puppies that come by. Look at this puppy! Oh my gosh, it's so cute!
So I was born in Beirut, Lebanon in 82, kind of during the height of the Civil War there. And I'm very connected to the Mediterranean Sea and the ocean and the earth and nature. And I've always kind of evolved in each different place that I've lived.
This is Layla.
This is Lulu, my daughters.
We both start with L. That's tuna. We have two cats.
Yeah, we love it out here. How old are your children? So Lulu is 5.5 years old, and then Layla is 5.5 months old.
This is my studio. This is where I do all my work.
I have two sides of the art. So this side,
that side, paint on. Yep, Lulu and I share a studio. So she works in here while I work in here. And ever since she was little, I always gave her a space, whatever room I was working in, whether it's the kitchen or anything, I'd give her like a kid-friendly version of what, you know, she can work on something while I'm working as well so that you can be together. And I love creating while she's around me. So, and now Layla, it's fun. Yeah. I guess place depends on what place. So every place has a different feeling for me and I'm inspired by all these different places. I pulled out these stones. They're just so pretty. They're these like milky white quartz, but they have this lacing through the inside of them, and they're just so interesting. I was going to turn them into tassel necklaces, actually, for the Handicraft Exchange, and I never got around to it, so I'm going to make a couple of them for you. This kind of evolved into my preferred medium, I suppose. I just am fascinated by all the different textures and the different energies and feelings from the stones and working with metals. Once I took my first jewelry making class, it kind of became my passion. When I make ear wires, I throw them in the tumbler. It kind of helps harden the wire and also softens the ends where you would poke through your ear. I also use the tumbler when I'm polishing my rings or different pieces. I typically use it just for the metals. So what keeps me going is just a dream to have my jewelry on more people. I just love, you know, when people come to me at different shows or events and they have my jewelry on and they're like, hey, remember me? I bought your jewelry for my wedding, or I bought your jewelry for Mother's Day or for Valentine's Day, and I'm part of people's lives and, you know, their community. And that's really what keeps me going, is to want to create these beautiful mementos and keepsakes for people to have for their moments to kind of see these stories and hear these tidbits just keeps me going, and it brings me so much joy.
The Cabaret Theater in downtown Indianapolis is starting a new incubator series. It's a way for local performers to highlight their craft, and you as the person in the audience not only get to watch their performance, but you get to ask them questions afterwards. So we brought in Matt Soce, time for to chat with Matt, our film sociology, Blues House Party host. And Matt, this the first kickoff to the incubator series stars two people that you know very well.
Yeah. What's interesting about the art scene in Indianapolis, or central Indiana for that matter, I mean, it is very large, but it is also a wonderful web of, I mean, we all kind of know each other in one way, shape, or form. If you're a regular listener to the show, I think I've used the term full disclosure on several occasions, because I'm friends with somebody or I've worked with somebody. This is a full disclosure event if there ever was one. On Saturday, August 4th at 8 p.m., at the Cabaret, as a part of the In Character series, they found a venue big enough for these two, and I mean that lovingly. Brent Marty, who is the director of music and education at Booth Tarkington Civic Theater, full disclosure, we went to college together. I'll tell you about that later. And Claire Wilcher, who has been one of the staples at Comedy Sports and the $3 Bill Comedy Company, and she's an acting teacher and a lot of fun. I loved her performance in The Winter's Tale many moons ago. But these two are going to sing and banter and sing some more and banter some more. And, yeah, ask questions after. Don't ask during, because you won't get a word in edgewise. It's going to be a whole lot of fun that evening.
They're billing it, Will the Singers Zingers Ever Stop?
No. I can tell you no. Now, again, I have not seen this, but I know both of them, and it's going to be an evening of song of epic proportions. Anything could happen.
And maybe for someone who's never been to a cabaret-style show, what should they expect?
Well, I think Brent will be the one rolling on top of the piano, like in The Fabulous Baker. But I'm kidding, Brent. Maybe Claire, probably neither. But I mean, it's usually very simple accompaniment of a voice and a piano, or maybe a guitar. But it's very song oriented. Little stories and little anecdotes, maybe in between. The fact that we have two people, so there will be some bantering. I guess I will say an all caps version of Stolen Moments, but not nearly as charming as what Brent and Claire are going to do.
And also afterwards, this little Q&A session. So
yeah.
I think they're hoping that people who are maybe interested in maybe doing more cabaret shows will be asking questions. But I have a feeling there's just going to be a lot of their fans there asking questions too.
And that's what's wonderful and terrifying at the same time. I say that with a big grin. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be spontaneous. And I don't know if Brent and Claire have worked together before, but like musicians, like a jazz combo, if you can get a good read on each other and a good beam on each other, you'll be able to bounce off each other really, really well. And the audience will be the winners in that evening.
Break a leg, everyone.
Wait, what is the line in All About Eve? Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but worth it.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Just ahead on Curious Mix, who are the people in your neighborhood?
I learned a lot of life lessons in the streets, you know, like even to this day, I'm learning things from the streets to this day, whether it be the streets firsthand or people in the streets. You know, the streets teach you a lot, man. It does.
After hours appetite?
We close 4:30 in the morning, actually. We deal with a lot of kind of like buzzy people.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. Kyle Long hosts Cultural Manifesto on WFYI. This week, he introduces us to an Indianapolis hip-hop artist named Skip, who shares five songs that inspire his music.
Skip, thank you for being here.
Much love. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you have an excellent new album out titled 10th. It's all about what you learned growing up on East 10th Street in Indianapolis. Is that right?
Absolutely, for the most part. Yes, sir.
You broke these lessons down into different values that you've acquired. Tell me about the values you learned on East 10th Street.
Loyalty, integrity, sophisticated, and sacrifice.
How did you learn loyalty on East 10th Street?
Loyalty was, for instance, in your neighborhood is always your neighborhood versus whoever else wants a problem with your neighborhood. And that just taught me loyalty in a lot of different forms, not even just that one form. You know, when you're taught to always ride with your people, you're going to always ride with your people, no matter if it's your neighborhood, your music family, your real family. You know, that's just, you know, loyalty.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's loyalty.
And on that track, you mentioned that you learned more from East 10th Street and the neighborhood you grew up in than you did in high school.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have very unpopular and strong opinions about school, but I learned a lot of life lessons in the streets, you know, like even something like credit. You know, I didn't learn about that in school. I learned about that in the streets, though. And a lot of other things, you know, it's just I did learn more than anything. Even to this day, I'm learning things from the streets to this day, whether it be the streets firsthand or people in the streets. You know, the streets teach you a lot, man. It does.
You said you have a lot of strong opinions on high school. You now have worked in a high school as a substitute teacher. How do those opinions shape your interactions with the students?
I'm just the person that they can relate to, honestly. Warren Central is a school where, you know, a lot of those kids are lost, to be honest. A lot of teenagers are lost, period. When I was a teenager, I was lost. But they're just trying to find their way, trying to find out what they want to do. And they can't relate. You know, the teachers can't relate to these kids sometimes. And it's a lot of people like me in the school that can actually relate to the kids. And, you know, I can speak to them and they can understand what I'm trying to say. And I can understand what they're trying to say. You know, and I feel like that's just my purpose in that school, solely, actually. Just to give them somebody that they can talk to and, you know, actually communicate with in a good way.
Yeah, and Skip, I asked you on the spot to share five favorite songs that have influenced you. What's your first pick for us?
Nipsey Hussle, Hustle and Motivate. Nipsey Hussle, period, motivates me. But this song in particular is like my lifestyle because it's like hustle and motivate. That's exactly what I do, whether with my music, I hustle and motivate. That's what we try to do in our music. The whole MeCap roster, we try to motivate people with our music. It's a dope song. Yeah. Check out Nipsey Hussle's album if you haven't. He's a very dope person and artist.
Pull up in motor cash. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers are throwaway. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know the way. I took control of things, ballin' the solo way. And if you pattern my trend, I make you my protege. Crossing that soldier race.
And your second song?
It'd have to be J. Cole, Lost Ones. J. Cole has a very open mind. I love his music, period. He's a very humbled individual, and he is very inspiring. He gives you a lot of game, and Lost Ones is just one of those songs. It's actually a story. You know, it just gives you a little more understanding of certain relationships and, you know, certain situations. And I think it's a very open-minded song, and it's dope. I love it.
Baby girl, I can't imagine what it's like for you. I got you pregnant, now inside there is a life in you. I know you wondering if this is gonna make me think about wife and you. Like if you had my first child, would I spend my whole life with you? Now I ain't trying to pick a fight with you, I'm trying to talk. Now I ain't trying to spend a night with you, I'm kind of lost, see. I've been giving this some thought lately, and frankly, I'm feeling like we ain't ready in this. Hold up now, let me finish. Think about it, baby, me and you, we still kids ourselves. How we gonna raise a kid by ourselves? Handle biz by ourselves.
And number three.
This is gonna be kind of a weird one, but it's Kirk Franklin. He's not singing or anything, but it's a song called Let Me Touch You. And it's basically about let me touch you to see if you're real, talking about the Most High. But I'm not very religious. And, you know, even though it's a religious song, I don't get a religious message from it. I just get like a feeling of hope. The song is basically about hope, man. Just, you know, just having hope in what you believe is real.
Even though I know my heart, your hands can heal. But sometimes.
But sometimes I get discouraged, and I need your strength and cheer. Jesus, let me touch you, see if you are real.
Sometimes to me. Number four, Skip.
I'm going to go with Pimp C, Shattered Dreams. Shattered Dreams is solely about following your dreams and don't let anyone stop you. This whole song is just about people trying to tell you you can't do it and don't let anyone shatter your dreams. Very, very dope song. One of my top 10 favorite songs of all time because it got me through a lot of rough patches where I felt like I wasn't going to make any noise with my music. And it felt like he was speaking to me, like, don't let no one shatter your dreams. You know, it did a lot for me. So Pimp C, Shattered Dreams is definitely number four, probably number one, actually.
Do you have one more song for us, Skip?
Of course I can give you one more. I'm going to go with Kendrick Lamar, Fear. Fear from his album. I can't say the word. It's an explicit word. But yeah, you know what album I'm talking about. Yeah. Fear is another one of those songs that just relates to the neighborhood, and specifically the verse where he's talking about his mom just telling him what to do. You know, it hit me right in the heart because that's exactly how my mother talked to us. And I'm like, man, I understand every single line, whether it be when she told him to eat all his food or, you know, don't, you better not go outside. And, you know, if somebody hits you, hit them back. All that, I related to it 100%. So that song was definitely a dope, inspirational song for me and my situations, of course.
Why, God, do I gotta suffer? Pain in my heart, carry burdens full of struggle. Why, God, do I gotta bleed? Every stone thrown at you, resting at my feet. Why, God, do I gotta suffer? Earth
is no and, yeah, that's my five songs.
And Skip, your new album is called 10th, and folks can purchase a copy, listen to it online at officialskip.com. That's SKYPP, officialskip.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Skip, thanks for sharing these five songs, and I really urge people to check your new album out. It's a really fantastic piece of work, so thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Each week, Kyle explores the history, harmony, and humanity of Indiana music on Cultural Manifesto. Listen live on 90.1 or online Wednesday nights at 8 and Saturday nights at 10. How does a poem inspire a visual artist? Like this. Here's Curious Mix contributor Terry Border.
Okay, since last we spoke, Jill, we lost Anthony Bourdain, who was, you know, a hero to me and a lot of us.
He was an amazing storyteller, and he wasn't afraid to meet new people, new places, taste new things. He was so much more than food.
Yes, he really was. It's you know, that's what he was known for, and people try to box him into that. But he was more about just visiting other cultures, learning about people, talking about ways of life and maybe how we could improve our relationship with each other. He was a big protector, and he spoke out for immigration, the people working in his kitchens as he worked. And I think we're really going to miss him in a lot of ways. And it's still a gut punch all these weeks later after he passed. So
was he a poet?
My wife was asking, you know, because she knows he was as much of a hero as I've ever had of, you know, I've never really had a hero, made a hero of somebody, but he was a hero of mine, I'm going to admit. And she's like, well, did he ever do any poetry? You know, could you read some of his poetry? And so I researched it. And although he wrote many books and graphic novels, and he wrote all of his TV commentary, of course, TV pieces, he didn't do poetry per se. He wrote in poetic ways many times, though. On my search, I did a lot of people posted on the internet about his visit to the Waffle House, which I love also. I'm a big fan of the Waffle House. And he had never been to Waffle House until a year or two ago. And he wrote this great intro to the segment. It goes a little something like this. It is indeed marvelous, an irony-free zone, where everything is beautiful and nothing hurts, where everybody, regardless of race, creed, color, or degree of inebriation, is welcomed. It's a warm yellow glow, a beacon of salvation, inviting the hungry, the lost, the seriously hammered, all across the South to come inside. A place of safety and nourishment. It never closes. It is always faithful, always there for you. And that was very poetic, and I thought, well, why don't I find some other quotes and writings of his, and we'll just read it as a collection, and I'm going to present this as a poem by Anthony Bourdain. Few things are more beautiful to me than a bunch of thuggish, heavily tattooed line cooks moving around each other like ballerinas on a busy Saturday night. Seeing two guys who'd just as soon cut each other's throats in their off hours, moving in unison with grace and ease, can be as uplifting as any chemical stimulant or organized religion. Travel isn't always pretty. It isn't always comfortable. Sometimes it hurts. It even breaks your heart. But that's okay. The journey changes you. It should change you. It leaves marks on your memory, on your consciousness, on your heart, and on your body. You take something with you. Hopefully, you leave something good behind. You have to be a romantic to invest yourself, your money, and your time in cheese. If I am an advocate for anything, it is to move as far as you can, as much as you can, across the ocean or simply across the river. Walk in someone else's shoes, or at least eat their food. It's a plus for everybody. No one understands and appreciates the American dream of hard work leading to material rewards better than a non-American. Maybe that's enlightenment enough to know that there is no final resting place of the mind, no moment of smug clarity. Perhaps wisdom is realizing how small I am and unwise, and how far I have yet to go.
Where do you think he is now?
I hope he's someplace enjoying some food and probably listening to some punk rock and wearing a concert t-shirt.
That's Terry Border. He'll be back again next week with another authentic poem. It's time to perk up our palates with a little help from Yelp, the online community of ordinary eaters who know where to find the tastiest places in town, especially when it comes to ethnic eats. If you're hungry for falafel, they say head to Petra Cafe.
My name is Mamdou Almaita, and I'm the owner of Petra Cafe, me and my brother Aziz, and I'm ready to show you some good falafels. We have a lot of vegans and vegetarian people. They come over here and they always ask, like, what kind of vegetarian dishes you have. And I always tell them falafel. Falafel is our traditional food in Jordan. It's made of chickpeas and onion and parsley. We make it fresh, homemade. We make it from scratch. We prepare the falafel. We mix the chickpeas and parsley and onion, and we put our own recipes, and we grind it together. We let it sit for one hour, and then after that we make it like as a ball, and we throw it in the fryer. We serve it on pita bread. And we ask the customer what kind of sauce they like. some of people like tzatziki sauce, some of people like hummus. Even 2 o'clock in the morning, yes. We close 4:30 in the morning, actually. And we get so busy until 4 o'clock. We deal with a lot of kind of like busy people. But yeah, it's just fun.
Petra Cafe is located at 610 Mass Ave in downtown Indianapolis. Still to come on Curious Mix, selecting a Steinway.
Plucking a string inside of the piano and listening to how the string blooms, how the sound blooms.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. Esports, or electronic sports, are multiplayer video games played competitively by professional gamers. Spectators watch the games, and it's become so popular that the NBA is putting together a league of its own. Curious Mix contributor Lauren Chapman tells us why the Indiana Pacers are one of the teams taking part in the first season.
In the last 2 decades, professional video gaming has grown into a billion-dollar industry. Now hundreds of millions of people watch other people play video games online.
When 36 million people are watching League of Legends Championship Series, that's more people that watch the Academy Awards and Major League Baseball World Series combined. So the numbers do the talking.
Kelly Kruskoff is the president of the newly launched Pacers Gaming. They're one of 17 teams involved in the NBA's NBA 2K League. She says esports will draw in a younger generation of fans.
And so then maybe there's some esports fan out there that's starting to watch Pacers gaming that's now interested in the Indiana Pacers.
To find that new audience, the league recruited players from all around the world.
And the slam dunk by Russell.
To play as digital versions of the real-life teams. The Pacers recruited 6 players, including 22-year-old Bryant Colon. He plays under the gamer tag Wolf74.
The simplest way to explain the 2K League is it's basketball played in the virtual world. So if you enjoy the game of basketball, you'll enjoy watching the 2K League because it's the same concept, you know, nothing different.
He moved from Brooklyn to Indianapolis to train with his 5 teammates and represent the Indiana Pacers in the league.
I work and I do something I love every day, so I don't consider this at work. I mean, I'm getting paid for it, but, you know, just coming in every day and playing the game and hanging out with my teammates is like, it's a dream come true, you know. It's amazing.
Each of the Pacers gaming players gets a base salary, up to $35,000 with benefits and housing. There's also prize money from tournaments up for grabs. And for the people rolling their eyes and saying this is just a video game, Pacers gaming coach Cody Parent says, no, these are athletes.
These guys are here 4 or 5 hours later than after practice. So they live and breathe video games and just love being together. So it's special.
They practice daily at the Pacers training facility. Here they are in April, 5 in a row, sitting in chairs, headphones on, controllers in hands, running drills in the video game.
All right, let's go. First play. What is it, Wolf?
And once a week, each team of gamers travels to a neutral studio to play NBA 2K in person for viewers on the streaming platform Twitch, which is like YouTube, but for video games.
Wolf on the break, 4-on-3, and they foul. That's just excellent recovery there.
Pacers Gaming president Kelly Kruskoff says it will look familiar to many basketball fans.
There's a whole new generation of fans that follow esports, and I think the great thing about the NBA game is that it's basketball. So if you're on Twitch or you're just looking, you know, you're just watching a competitive video game, when you come to an NBA 2K game, you're going to know what you're watching because it's basketball.
The league hasn't been a raging success out of the gate. Industry watchers say the viewership has dropped off since the launch of the league. That could be a problem, especially since the league makes money through sponsorship deals and merchandise, both of which require a robust audience. But NBA 2K managing director Brendan Donahue says he's not worried about those numbers yet.
You know, we were keeping an eye on the esports landscape over the last several years. And what happened was it was exploding, quite honestly. I mean, it was over the last 3 years, it's doubled in size. You know, anybody who looks at this from the outside can tell you that it's likely to expect it to double in size again in the next couple of years.
The NBA is targeting that growing audience. Traditional sports viewership in the U.S. is aging. The NFL's average viewer is 50. The NBA, 42. The average esports viewer is 28 years old, an age highly coveted by advertisers. Pacers Gaming Kelly Kroskoff says that's why the team jumped at the opportunity to be a part of the league's first season.
You know, they're already in the space where we're trying to be. We're just going to do it through the NBA 2K game.
Pacers with a timeout. Let's listen in on the team from Indiana.
For Curious Mix, I'm Lauren Chapman.
We Run This is a culinary arts program offered by the Kepra Institute on the Indianapolis North Side. Young people learn how to cook, clean, and operate a working kitchen, and then they prepare and serve meals on a regular basis to members of the community. It's one of several programs offered by KI to empower young people. Curious Mix contributor Ariana Beatty takes us into the KI kitchen to learn more.
Not a stir fry, but it's a pineapple.
It's like a soup. It's a little bit thicker.
A pineapple soup.
Cool.
And then we are cooking cornbread.
Uh-huh. What else is in the cornbread?
Oh, you got me.
You can look in the bowl.
Huh?
You can look in the bowl if you want. Other bowl.
Oh. Green peppers and onions.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and what
absolutely.
Was your name again?
Greg.
Greg, and you're the...
Intern.
Cool.
Curated and organized by Tabitha Barber, Ethan Evans, and Scott Jans, We Run This sets youth up for success by equipping them with tools to become business owners and leaders of tomorrow. The culinary aspect is run by Tabitha and Scott.
We offer catering, and we offer workshops on healthy eating, healthy cooking. Tab charges up the event planning.
Yeah, event management. We train our young people to do event management services. So anything from reunions to parties.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning a wedding.
Planning a wedding.
For this summer.
Which we're catering as well, so we're getting the full package there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all through the lens of youth development. All good vehicles for training young people to run this.
We Run This shares 7 interns with Kepra Institute. Each intern gets experience in areas from creating food initiatives to website maintenance. Referrals and applications are a way for youth to get involved in the program.
Small number, always tuck your hand back. Protect your fingers. The number one goal of cutting things.
Protect your fingers.
Exactly right. We can recut vegetables. We cannot uncut your hand.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
For Curious Mix, I'm Ariana Beatty.
Christ Church Cathedral on Monument Circle in downtown Indianapolis hosts events on a regular basis. But a concert in May of 2018 stirred the crowd even more. That's the day the church welcomed its new Steinway Concert Grand Piano. Curious Mix contributor Lee Clifford was there.
In 2017, Christ Church Cathedral began a new service on Sunday evenings called Vesper Light, which incorporated a variety of musical styles requiring a piano. Musical director Michael Boney quickly realized, though, that the sound and range of their existing instrument was limited and didn't complement the rest of the program. Because the church holds the chamber music recitals of the American Pianist Awards, there was an established relationship with the city's foremost piano experts. So American Pianist Association President, CEO, and Artistic Director Joel Harrison and 2017 awards winner Drew Peterson traveled with church officials to the Steinway factory in New York to help select a new instrument.
Here we are. I'm sitting next to this wonderful new Steinway D, which I was very, very fortunate and privileged to help select from Steinway in New York. I took a trip out to the factory in Queens and tried out five beautiful pianos. And this time, this one instrument that I'm sitting next to really, 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 it stood out.
Are there specific things that you're looking for, any techniques that you do to compare pianos?
So one actually that I learned from Joel Harrison here that I did not know about is plucking a string inside of the piano and listening to how the string blooms, how the sound blooms over an extended period. That's a kind of unusual technique.
Do you want to show me?
Yeah, sure. So here I'm going to pick a string. It's important to pick the right string. If you pick, you can pick, it's probably a good idea to pick different strings in different registers, because registers meaning lower notes, higher notes, because even on one piano, the registers are not identical. They should blend together well, but they shouldn't necessarily all have the same kinds of characteristics, otherwise everything would be kind of bland. So I'm going to start in the middle of the piano, because this is kind of, you know, the notes that are played the most in most repertoire. So here's a note. Let's see if I can pluck it well. I can still hear it, but we're going to stop now.
That's amazing.
So it's not just how long it fades, but how it fades is more important.
After selecting the piano, it was time to create the program for its public debut.
Starting with Beethoven, early Beethoven, however. So early Beethoven's very classical, very transparent, and requires an incredible amount of control of sudden shifts of dynamics and articulations, longer notes versus shorter notes. In very, very spare writing, but very detailed in its demands. So this piano will be a master at showing the genius of Beethoven and his, you know, volatility. So there's that. I'll be playing some beautiful pieces by Griffiths and Liszt that are a little more impressionistic, in the sense that this allows opportunities to mix different sounds together in unexpected ways. And the piano, of course, will be great, but also I'm looking forward to the space, the resonance space, allowing me to create this kind of magic in the air that these pieces require. And I'm beginning the concert with a lovely song by Robert Schumann, arranged for solo piano by Franz Liszt, called Widmung, which means dedication. Now, of course, Schumann wrote this for his beloved fiancée, Clara Wieck Schumann, whom he was engaged to marry. But in this case, we will take a little bit of the romanticism out of the context and instead dedicate this beautiful instrument to this beautiful space.
Christ Church Cathedral's Michael Boney is pleased with the church's newest member.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What does one say? Especially after that last Liszt piece. Right. It was just magnificent. I don't think I've ever heard a piece that can demonstrate everything that this piano, or any band could do, but this particular piano was just amazing. And his artistry was just mind-blowing.
Concertgoers Lisa Harris and Hillary Egan hope many others will soon come hear the piano for the city.
I
I wish Liszt could have heard that. I'll say that. and Beethoven as well. Oh my goodness.
It was just fantastic, and he has such a broad range of talents, and it was amazing. And it was amazing that Indianapolis has this Steinway, and that Drew Peterson was kind enough to come and play for us for free.
For Curious Mix, I'm Lee Clifford.
Curious Mix is made possible in part by the Arts Council of Indianapolis. Brandon Meeks composed and performs our music. And this Curious Mix was created by
Lee Clifford,
Ariana Beattie,
Terry Border,
Roxana Caldwell,
Melissa Davis,
Sarah Neil Estes,
Kyle Long,
Matt Pelser,
Matthew Sosi,
Lauren Chapman,
and me, Jill Dittmeyer. We'll be back next week with more Curious Mix.